Adonai Elohim Zavod. Enter your word, O God. Mercy. Let that presence follow us. That we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Help me to speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. Let your word flow freely from you through me to the people. The same unction, the same presence upon me, let it be upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that the word will do a work in our hearts, an eternal work in our hearts, causing us to be more humble, causing our understanding to be further enlightened with revelation, causing our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak that a great measure of your power be released to back these words, to follow them wherever they're heard and released in all the earth. And that power will heal. That power will break yokes. That power will free men so they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. That indeed I will do it with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word, indeed things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, today is Father's Day, and interestingly, I didn't prepare a message for Father's Day, but as it turned out, as I was meditating and praying on the word this morning, the Lord gave me a message which is very applicable to Father's Day and to all of us really as Christians. This, by the mercy and the grace of God, is a very short exhortation. It came out of some sharing I was doing with some other brethren. I think it was Pastor Laolu and Pastor Praise. And I was talking to them about this. This was maybe on sometime earlier this week. Last week, rather. And it occurred, so I was praying this morning. It came back to me and I said, that's a good thing to share. I'm going to give it a strange, well, it's not strange. I'm going to give it a title. And I'm going to call it The Virtuous Christian. We hear a lot about the virtuous woman from Proverbs 31. I'd like to turn there, Proverbs chapter 31, from verse 10 downwards. And that scripture, while it is very, very appropriate and are apt and applicable to a woman. That's why it's called the virtuous woman. It is in the manifold wisdom of God, applicable not only to women, but is also applicable to a church. You know, the woman is typified as a church. And there are certain spiritual characteristics about this woman and this church. And the church is made of individuals. So it is not only a virtuous woman, it's a virtuous church. And not only just a virtuous church, it's a virtuous Christian. And not just a virtuous Christian, it's a virtuous father. Hence the application to Father's Day. All that came this morning. I'd never thought of it like that before. And I just want to highlight a few critical things about this virtuous woman. First of all, let me establish the fact that prophetically, in the manifold wisdom of God, for those of us who do not understand the concept of the manifold wisdom of God, I'll just put you into very brief remembrance. You need to understand that the Word of God has manifold, that's why we use the word manifold, many applications, not just one. So when you read a scripture, it may apply to a particular thing in a particular context, and that is correct. But in addition, and that's why it's manifold, it may have several other applications, sometimes in the millions, sometimes even in the billions. Because God's wisdom is so intricate and unfathomable. And I use this very simple illustration. It's a mathematical illustration, but it illustrates the point. If you take the number 10, there are many ways you can combine numbers to get 10. Let's just stay with addition alone. You know, if you go into multiplication and subtraction, it gets more and more complicated, you know, and more manifold. But let's just use addition. 2 plus 8 is 10. But so is 4 plus 6. So somebody comes along and says, oh, I see the scripture as 8 plus 2. Correct. When that person comes and says, I see the same scripture as 4 plus 6. It's also correct. And in mathematics, we say that there is an infinite number of solutions. You can go on to 1.1 and 8.9 and so on. You can just keep going on. There's no limit to how many ways you can combine numbers to get the number 10. So it is with the Word of God. That's why it's the manifold wisdom of God. So here I want to focus on, I'm going to start with the virtuous church. Then I will go to the virtuous Christian, and I'll go to the virtuous father. And I trust we will not be just a few minutes. Firstly, there are three characteristics about this church. I've said this woman, I've said this many times, particularly when we do Mother's Day. Even Pastor Dio was preaching the other day about my wife to the glory of God. And you can see these characteristics to the glory of God without flattery in her life. There are three outstanding characteristics about this virtuous woman. Number one, she's a spiritual woman. The Bible says she girds herself with strength in verse 35. Quickly go there. Verse 35. Is it 35 or 25? Excuse me, 25. Verse 25. Verse 25. Verse 25. Yes. Strength and what? I didn't hear you. This is not physically spiritual. Have you ever seen anybody going out wearing strength and physically wearing strength? No. He's talking about spiritual strength. Strength and honor. The Bible actually says in the book of Ephesians, it says that you might strengthen with might by his spirit in the inner man. The clothing there is not physical. It's spiritual. You know, what the Bible says in the book of Revelation, talking about the church, it says, you know, the attire of the saints, fine linen, clean and white. It's not talking about physical clothes. He's talking about when you get to a place in your Christian life, you know, the Bible talks about this also in the book of Revelation, talking about the overcomer. It says that he that overcometh will I give, you know, I'll give him a white garment. The white there is just symbolic of purity. Your garment is actually your physical body, because your body is what clothes your spirit. When it becomes white is when you get into cleansing perfection, when all the sin nature is out. That's this woman. Strength and honor are her clothing. Even though it doesn't record it in this order, this is the actual order. It is from this she does all the other things. And I'm going to prove it to you. And this is not only true for the virtuous woman, it's true for the virtuous church. It's true for the virtuous Christian. So whether you're a father or not, so this scripture has multiple applications. It's true for any Christian can claim the things inside the scripture. And particularly today, because today is Father's Day, we zero in on fathers. But it's true for everybody. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She's strength. It's not a physical strength, it's a spiritual one. Ephesians 3 says, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you become rooted and grounded in love, that you be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, breadth, depth and height, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Nobody knows what that thing means, Pastor Wigger. But we're sure going to find out. And we're going to manifest it. But this virtuous church, this virtuous church, is a church that is clothed. Strength and honor are her clothing. So it's the strength from inside, from the power of the Spirit of God inside her, that makes her this virtuous woman. The second thing that makes you identify that this woman isn't just a physical woman alone, even though it is that. Don't misunderstand me. We don't take away from the natural application. That is there. Amen. But these are the manifold wisdom of God that is on top of the natural one. The Bible says, her husband sits amongst the elders in the gate. Do you know where Jesus sits? He sits on the throne in heaven, and he's surrounded by 24 elders. Who is her husband? Jesus. It's the church. It's the church. Which is also true in the natural, that a virtuous woman, her physical husband, can sit with the elders. But this is talking about the church in the manifold wisdom of God. Jesus sits amongst the elders. Go and check in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. He sits. Hallelujah. He sits on a throne, and then there around the throne you have the 24 elders. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the church. Another thing I want you to see. There are lots of stuff, but I just want to highlight the main ones about this woman, this virtuous church. He says, she brings her meat from afar off. Now, in the physical, that means an industrious woman who will go to places where she can get good deals and buy good food and make sure that there's food in the house. That's true in the natural, you know, and that application is there. But there's a deeper application. The Bible says that the person who lacks it, he says, cannot see afar off. But a Christian, a virtuous Christian, whose understanding is enlightened, he has the eye of the eagle. He can see afar off. So he goes and brings meat, revelation knowledge, from far to come and feed the church. Are you listening to me? Hence the scripture says, you know, he will show you things to come. He's talking about a prophetic, apostolic church woman who sees afar off. Another thing about it, he rises up when it's night. He's an intercessor. It's all there. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. It's a church. In addition to being a woman, it's also a church. It's a virtuous church. It's a virtuous Christian. And it's a virtuous father. So for all men who have thought that Proverbs 31 is just for women, I bring you good news. Glad tidings of great joy. It's not just for women. Daddy, you need to get up in the night. Thank you for 3-4 amens over there. I said, daddies, where are the men? I just prayed for you. I didn't hear your voices. I said, daddies, you need to get up in the middle of the night and pray for your wife and your children. And go and bring your meat, the revelation knowledge of God, from afar off. You got to see problems before they come. Amen. The eye of the eagle, afar off. It's talking about the church. Don't eat the bread of idleness. You know, some of our men, not only in Nigeria, but also all over, you know, sometimes the men are just idle. That's what we were talking about earlier in the morning, you know, about, you know, single parents. Sometimes some sort of men are just irresponsible. Very common, well, it's common, not maybe very, but it's common in England and America. They just want to keep getting government money, you know. Now, in some cases, because I try to be, God is teaching me, and I'm learning more and more, I try to be sympathetic like Jesus, you know, and try and understand where people are coming from. Sometimes the culture, you know, background, you know, somebody was telling me recently that in some African American homes in the US, it says for the last 4 or 5 generations, they've always been living on the dole. The dole means, you know, social security. His father never worked. His grandfather never worked. His great-grandfather never worked. Now, not all of them are like that, but some are like that. You know, and he just, that's just the way. That's just the way things are. You know? And sometimes, that's why I say sometimes, not totally their fault. Sometimes, I mean, I'll use the word totally, and I use that guardedly. You know, because sometimes they try and go, maybe, okay, go and learn a trade and go and learn something. Okay, you get money. But by the time you get money and they take the tax out and they take this out and they take the mortgage out and they, what you are left with is less than what the guy who gets the dole. So some people think, look, why should I go ahead and try and get a job when if I go to Social Security and I get it, I'm going to have more than if I took the job. By the time they take my tax, they take, you know, I have to pay for my rent. I have to do this, I have to do that. What I'm left with, so it's better for me to stay on Social Security. Both are wrong. And that's one of the reasons why I don't want to walk all over the American government right now. But, you know, but that's one of the reasons why good government needs to think through. You got to don't smudge the figures. It's one of the debates they're having now about the budget and all of that, both here in Nigeria as well as in America. You know, you just pass a budget and say you can do it. Hey, wait, let's work out the details.
Don't just come and give me some nice fancy talk. Wait. Give me the details. How are you going to pay for this? If you give me this and you take this out and you take that out and you take that out, what's going to be left? Think it through before you open your mouth. And the truth about the matter, while I'm on it, is that honesty, compassion, if you put it in and you do your calculations properly and you let everybody pay their fair share, it's one of the things the people on the left argue about. People like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, and you've got the Republicans on the other side. The truth about the matter is that both sides need to come together. That's why it has to be a bipartisan thing and sit down and work out the details, which sadly some of them don't want to do, you know, because some people are so selfish. You know, if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, if I was born the son of a millionaire and you start telling me about social care, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, what's he talking about? You know, you go get a job, man, as if it's just like that, because you've never been there. But if you were born in the Bronx, you were born in some apartment, something, and things, you know, right from when you were a baby, you know, then you, a person who has that, he can understand. So when he gets into Senate and he gets into Congress, he can say, boys, it's not like that. I was there. Now let's work out a workable budget. Let these ones pay tax. Let these ones do this. Now let's make sure it balances, so that if these guys get a job, they can still make a decent living. I don't know how I got off on that, but the U.S. government needed it. It's truth. You know, so the virtuous woman, this virtuous church, is a person that is not idle. That's what we got off on that. Not idle. God doesn't want us to be idle. Men, we must not be idle. Are you listening to me? You know. Then, you see something else about her. You know, this virtuous church, this virtuous woman, this virtuous Christian, this virtuous father. You know, and look at verses 13 to 19. You know, you need to sit down and go and meditate on these scriptures. Let's read it together. Say, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. I got a comment on this. You know, if you again, you know, there's the natural and then there's the spiritual. The natural is, oh, she's going to make clothes. You understand? So she goes to buy. Our mothers and our forefathers used to do that. You know, they'll go and buy this and they will spin the thread, you know, and then the yarn and all of that. And that's what he's talking about. But it goes far beyond that. Are you listening to me? She seeketh wool. In other words, the wool is not just there. She has God to go and look for it. He's talking about, mommy was talking yesterday, you know, at the Value Service, solution providers. You don't just sit down and complain. There's nothing, there's no wool, there's no... Go and seek it. And seek it. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 14. Am I helping anybody here this afternoon? She is like the merchant ships that bringeth her food from afar. Spoken about this, the spiritual equivalent. Verse 15. She riseth also... people, you know, I want to be hearing the fathers, all those your bass voices. She riseth also, while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I've talked about this, you know, getting up to pray and all of that, you know, but I'm not done yet. Verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Is an investor. Is an investor. And with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. You see, in those days, they lived in an agricultural economy. We still do to some degree. But you have to understand this. This is a church, a woman, that has insight. So she now, she's looking for good deals. Hello? So she considered a field. Now today, it may not necessarily be a field, an investment. So she'll go and put money into it and buy it, and then turn it around. She's industrious. Hallelujah. With the fruit, she plants a vineyard. See, the field originally was just empty. But now put something so that the field now starts producing. Productive ventures. You could do a whole seminar on this. Next verse. She girdeth her loins with strength. Again, this is spiritual. Travail. It's right there. Hallelujah. His strength is in his loins. His power is in the navel of his belly. This is just not... So, daddies and fathers, you need to start girding your loins with strength. So you can bring forth. And strengthen her arms. Am I talking to anybody here? Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Industrious. You know, one of the big problems of the church today is changing a little bit, although contaminated with a little bit of, with some appreciable amount of covetousness and carnality, and that has really muddied the waters. However, like I said earlier when I was talking to somebody, you must not throw away the baby with the bathwater. Do you understand? You know, we must learn how to invest. She perceives that merchandise is good. We must, the church mentioned that waiting for people to come and give, and that's nothing wrong with people giving, you know, to give. But also, after we give, we must know how to invest. You know, in different ventures, so that the thing can bring returns. We're supposed to be the richest guys on the earth. How do you think we're going to get it? By sitting in church and just singing choruses? No. She considered the field. She knows her merchandise is good. I was counseling a young man yesterday and asked him the subjects he was doing and everything, you know, and what he wanted to do. He wanted to do engineering and all that. And I said, that's great. Then I said, do business studies, whatever else you do. I said, because it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to be a business. I don't care whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're an engineer, you know, you must have some degree of financial literacy. One of the things younger generation, you know, they don't have any financial literacy. It doesn't matter what you do. You must know how to balance books. You must understand how to invest, how to get returns, you know, the kind of thing. Because you have to know how your money will work for you. So that you don't just have one stream of income. It's not a motivational message, but you'll be amazed. I know about these things too. It's just that, you know, we don't put them at the front of the burner. You put the spiritual at the front of the burner. That's why we're teaching this. Can you see where it came from? It came from the virtuous woman. She has strength in her. Then all these other things come out. When you teach it upside down, you get a bunch of carnal Christians who are covetous. Are you listening? But you teach it the right way up, by the mercy and the grace of God, like I'm doing, you know, you see, I started from the virtuous. You have to be spiritually virtuous. then you have strength in the inner man. And strength and honor become your clothing. Aha, then you can then consider the field. Then you can see that your merchandise is good. Because we must be very rich to do the work of God. I heard about three amens. Strong men retain riches. Am I talking to anybody here? Her candle goeth not out by night. You know, I discovered something, you know, about successful people. By the grace of God, we work hard. So sometimes we pray. I have to pray, don't sometimes me. But on top of that, sometimes you have to work into the night. When you're studying something, lazy people aren't going anywhere. That's what the Bible is talking about. It's a virtuous church. This is a prophetic picture of God wants, what God wants for His wife, the bride of Christ. That's why He put it in the Bible. He put it in the Proverbs as a natural thing, expecting us to deep. He says, the wise man, he dug deep. So begin to see beyond the surface and say, this is what God wants. Let's get back. Next verse. He guided her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. 18. She perceived that her candle goeth not by night. Diligence. Suppose when you have a job to do, you make sure you finish it. Even if it means sleeping a little bit later. Amen. So that's why, you know, I've been teaching in recent times a lot, emphasizing about praying in the evening, in the night, fourth watch praying, and all of these things. It's all a balance. Sometimes I'm studying something, and trust me, I study, you know. You know, and I may have to just look up something. I may have to give an extra hour in the middle of the night. Then I go and sleep. Then I get up, you know, and then I pray. You know, it's all. And this is the thing. This Pastor Laulu actually said this, you know. And let me finish this. I won't forget what he said. Next verse, verse 19. She laid her hands to the spindle. Now this is talking about sewing clothes. But you have to go beyond the natural. Are you listening to me? You know, and lays hold of the distaff. This is talking about, you know, clothes and, you know, sewing and all of that. But it's talking about a hardworking woman. Every Christian, male or female, should be hardworking, should be virtuous, out of the spiritual. Now, Pastor Laulu said this when we're sharing, you know, and I said, I didn't even think of it like that. He said, it's amazing how many balls this woman is juggling. Talk about management. Let's look at it from the woman point of view first. Then we'll look at it from the general point of view and I'll close. Look at this woman. She's a wife. She's a mother. She's an investor. She's domestic. All at the same time. And then on top of that, she's spiritual. Give the Lord a clap offering. Do you know? Number five said, he said, Pastor, he said, she's juggling so many balls. He said, that thing cannot be done in the natural. Absolutely correct. You cannot do this thing in the natural. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Otherwise, you either become a Martha. You can skew. Most women, that's what happens. You can skew to the point where, oh, well, you're always cooking food and you're always doing this and you're always doing that, which is not wrong. Amen. But then you don't have any strength in the inner man. And you're not industrious. It's getting kind of quiet in here. It's like I'm walking all over you, which is exactly what God told me to do. Are you listening to me? Yeah. It will take the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God to juggle about four different balls. The wife ball, the mother ball, the domestic ball, the industrial ball, the spiritual ball, and none of them fall. Same thing for husbands. Same thing for churches. Same thing for Christians. We are in this world. God doesn't want you to live in a monastery. How will you feed your children? So, God, I got to close, folks. You know, I got to be in church. I got to pray. I got to fast. Yet, I've got to be industrious. Yet, I've got to be, you know, an investor. Yes, I've got to be, you know, spiritual. I got. How can this be? With men, this is impossible. But with God, that was what was at the back of Jesus' mind. Where it says, how hardly can a rich man enter to heaven? He said, I'm rich. Jesus is rich. And how many people know? Very rich. And he was in the kingdom. So he said, with men, this is impossible. If you're doing this thing by natural, it's not going to work. Something will suffer. And usually what suffers is spiritual. And people also become natural and carnal. And that is why there is a limit to their success. Naturally. You know, the guy doesn't have the strength to see afar off. And he cannot even discern that his merchandise is good. So he invests a particular level and he caps. But if you have the spiritual, hallelujah. Amen. You'll be able to see afar off. Something happened recently. My wife and I give this testimony to the glory of God, you know, because to the glory of God, my wife has quite a number of these characteristics. And I've seen over the years juggle these balls, and she's still juggling them. And I also help, you know, we work as a team. Around the beginning of this year, my wife just told me something. I won't give the details. She said, honey, we need to buy this. I said, ha! I said, we don't even have the money yet. She said, I know. He said, but once we get some money, you know, we need to do this. This particular thing is underpriced and it's going to appreciate. Even though now, he said, this is the time to do it. When nobody's eye is there. So I prayed about it. And I said, I looked at it myself. And I said, honey, you know, you're right. Let's do it. We spoke to one or two financial people we know, you know, and they said, wow! They said, you're right, you know. Asked about, you know, did a little bit of research here and there. And lo and behold, we did it. 6 months later, that thing has appreciated over 50% now. I won't tell you how much we've made. You will faint. Just by seeing afar off. It comes out of the spirit. This does not come by gra-gra and running over the whole place, running up and down. It comes just by spiritual insights that God gives. One of our friends, you know, financial friends, he said, wow, you people see the future. I just laughed. He said, I should be coming to you to know what I'm going to do. I said, that's okay too. Amen. It's true. A virtuous church. A virtuous church. Not just a woman now. A virtuous Christian. A virtuous husband. You must learn to juggle all those balls. Father. Husband. Intercessor. Investor. Elder. All in one. How can I do this? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Let's close. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Of course you can. But you can't do it by yourself. See, you doing yourself causes a great disfavor, disservice when you are carnal. Lazy Christians who are not, let me mellow that so that I don't sound too harsh. You know, Christians who are not serious about spiritual things are short-sighted. They think, if I can, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do that. You don't know what you're missing. In fact, all those things you're trying to do, there'll be a limit to how much they can work because you're not spiritual. The more spiritual you are, the more insight you will have. The better you will be at whatever it is you do. I've said this to the young people, and I'm saying it again today. You weren't born to be a doctor. You weren't born to be an engineer. You were not born to be a lawyer. You're not born to be a politician. You were born to be like Jesus. That is your destiny. The sooner you wake up to it, the better. Now, the more like Jesus you are, the better the doctor you will be. The better the engineer you will be. The better the politician you will be. The better the businessman you will be. Put the thing in the right order, and you will become a marvel to your generation. He said, behold, I and the children God has given me are for signs and wonders. He didn't say they do signs. They are the signs. This virtuous woman is a sign. The virtuous woman, she's a sign. She's a wonder. How can one woman juggle 5 balls and none of them falls to the ground? It's super. Of course, Pastor Louis, it's totally supernatural. You can't do it in the natural. So if you don't get strong spiritually, you just can't be a virtuous woman. End of story. You can't be a virtuous church. You can't be a virtuous husband. I said this many years ago when I was teaching on marriage. I said it was not designed for carnal Christians. Though many Christians marry because they are carnal. Isn't that ironic? Because they are burning. So the Bible says if you are born, it's better to marry. But if you marry because of that reason, you just got the wrong end of the stick. When you get into it, you now know what it is. Then when the challenges start coming, you will find that marriage is not just about sex. The veterans are saying, they know. Yeah, before you get married, you're a fine girl, fine legs, fine this, fine that. Let me quickly marry so I can have sex. Okay, you marry now, you have sex. What's next? How do you put food on the table? How do you look after the children? I'm walking all over. I thought the message had ended. How do you handle anger? Unforgiveness, pride, covetousness. How do you handle your in-laws? You need the wisdom of God. You need the favor of God. You need the power of God. And you thought your marriage was just... The whole thing needs to be retaught. Yes, thank you, Pastor Buega. The foundations are wrong. Marriage is not just about that. You know, marriage is becoming a virtuous wife and a virtuous husband. Juggling about 6 or 7 balls and making sure none of them fall to the ground. Through Christ who strengthens you. Touch your heart. Raise your hand. Have I helped anybody here? Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed.
in you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I've come to know.
Lord, I've come to know.
The
weaknesses I see. And me. Confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've brought to me, revealing to me that it is your will that we become a virtuous church and virtuous Christians as individuals and virtuous fathers. My God and my Father, I have come to understand through your word that it is going to take the power of your Spirit according to your word. It says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The power of your spirit strengthening us in the inner man, giving me spiritual insight so I can see afar off, know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, with mercy and grace that will make the yoke easy and the burden light. Oh God, thank you for enlightening me. Thank you for talking to me. Help me. Have mercy on me. Give me fresh mercy and fresh grace to become a virtuous Christian in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Put your hands down just before we pray for healing and our needs. As we were praying, a thought came to me and I believe it will help and clarify a lot of things. Recently, I think it was Pastor Wega's birthday, and I think I did one after that too. You know, I was talking about a man's life. And there are three periods of time. There's preparation, there's revelation, and there's manifestation. And as I was praying, the Lord said, tell them, he said, you know, I just gave you testimony of my wife and I. And I would say, hey, look at Pastor, blah, blah, blah. You know, why don't I know they all have this? See, folks, you need to understand something. It's very important to prioritize the spiritual. The things we're enjoying now, it's because we've laid a foundation. It didn't just happen. So, the reason why, and this is to help, to clarify, some people have struggled on this, is because they never took time to lay the spiritual foundation properly. But the good news is, and this is very good news, is that you can superimpose, but prioritize your spiritual education. So it doesn't matter what you're doing now. If your spiritual education isn't where it ought to be, and I dare say that's the truth for many people, you need to put that as a priority. The other things will come, don't misunderstand me. But you need to, you know, let's say the way Jesus said it. He said in a very simple, Jesus, now I'm getting to know him better and better. I now understand God better, you know. That's why the Bible is the kind of book it is. He will say something, it looks so simple, but if you know what's behind it, there's so much complexity. But if he tries to explain it to you, you'll be confused. So you say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What I'm saying now is the same thing. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then he guarantees you that all these material things, all the investment, the merchandise seen afar off, it will come. Say, why can't I see that? Why can't I have that? Have you sought first the kingdom? Or shall we
paraphrase that, are you seeking first the kingdom? I'm not saying you're not seeking the kingdom, but is it first? Like priority. Because you need to understand that your success in other areas is dependent on the spiritual. Not only to get. There's a level you will never enter if you don't become more spiritual. So that's what you need to prioritize. Does that mean you have to go and give up your job? No. Oh, no. Prioritize. Give time to the things of the Spirit. And as you become more consolidated in that, and you grow spiritually, you begin to see how you can take some of that time now and start applying to other things. It's one comes out of the other. The Lord wanted me to make that clarification. You understand? So, in the church now, there's this craze about motivational messages, 7 steps to success, 7 habits of successful people, blah, blah, blah. Some people even write these books, I'm not even born again. And do those things work? Yes, to some degree. They're just certain principles. But you know, the difference between them and you is that Satan doesn't disturb them. They're in his camp. He can get them any day he wants. It's when you try and do it, all hell breaks loose. If you are worthy of the kingdom, you can't just go and copy what one unbeliever said and all of that. The principle may not be wrong, you know, but if the spiritual is not there, if that guy is going to make a lot of money, he might make millions and all that, but he's not going to use it for the kingdom. So, of what? He's not a threat for you. So, you need to put on the whole armor of God. And get straight hand. And when you get then when you now want to do those things, you can enter into his territory, and there's nothing he can do about it. I don't know if I've helped you. You can enter into his territory, walk in and get the things, spoil his goods, get the things you won't get done. And it's nothing, he will fire his fiery dust, but they won't work. They'll be quenched with the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. But you better know how to put on that armor, and you better put it on daily. And don't go out into the business world without that armor on, or he'll have you for lunch. I didn't say that, the Bible says so. He said, "The roaring lion seeking whom he have him for lunch." He's not going to have you for lunch in Jesus' name. Yeah, but you need to. So prioritize. So depending on at the level of your life, the thing you need to now concentrate is kingdom. Hello. As you get more and more into kingdom and you become established in the kingdom, you find that God starts opening these other areas up. That's from my experience. Start opening them up and giving you insight. Now you can do this, and it won't disturb you. You can do this. You can handle this. You can do this. I'm very envious. I shouldn't be envious of the younger generation. Those of you who are 30 years old and under, 20 years old and under, you're blessed. I wish I knew what you know. I'm telling you, if you follow me and you do what I ask you to do, by the time you're in your 40s, gosh, you'll be multi-billionaires and spiritual ones. Yeah. Material things will have no hold on your heart. You'll be completely, independent of them, yet you will have them and use them. for the glory of God. You see, some of us had to do a lot of, you know, extracurricular, you know, learning while we're in school, and, you know, because we didn't know, you know, we weren't taught. So we had to put revelation and this one and be doing the one and mixing everything. But you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Use this first next 4 or 5 years. Solidify yourself spiritually. You know? You see, when you're young, before you're married, you don't have too many responsibilities. So money is not that important yet. That's the years of the foundation. Preparation. You, if you solidify that, and you're solid there, when it now comes the time of you will know, you'll be wiser than Daniel. You will have more understanding than your teachers. You will know what to do, where to go, who to see. You will say, that one will disturb me, I don't want it. This one will not work, this one will work. And you will have years ahead of you to handle it. We've learned them, but now we're having to combine the one of the past. And God is having mercy on us. Amen. But you don't have to carry all that baggage. I got born again in 1979. I didn't start walking in perfection principles until 1991, when we wrote the book Tabernacle of Moses and Prayer. That was when it became clear to us, seven steps and all of that. You know, for the first few years, we just, you know, so those first years, we were roaming in the wilderness. God had mercy on us, so we were roaming, God was blessing us. We had the fire in the night. We had the pillar of cloud during the day. Our shoes didn't wear. We had material blessing and all of that. But we didn't know where we were going. It's 88, 89. It's becoming clear. It's like preaching Man Child Company. You know, then the prophet, he was like, this is where we are going. You know? But you don't have that handicap. You don't have the handicap. Make use of it. Put one hand on your body. Raise the other hand to God. And we're going to just pray a simple prayer. Just say, Father, we confess our sins. So clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. I'm just going to pray and then we'll all pray in the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I come to pray for everyone's sound of my voice. And I come to pray for their healing in Jesus' name. Every spirit of infirmity, I cast you out. I destroy your works, resist and bind you. I release healing power into everybody under the sound of my voice. According to your word, I send this word now and heal them. Your word says he sent his word and healed them. And I delivered them from their destructions by the power of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And by the same token, I ask that every need be met. Oh God, come and have mercy. Meet them at their point of need. You do not forsake the righteous, and their seed will not beg bread. You will give them food and you will give them raiment. In Jesus' name. Nekatala makoto fridofres. Lipriki tufridis kofredenga. Toloma tufrines. Lambrina tos. Lengari jelikio mzaham zgushkofrene. Lembredeles. Lombroka tolo motolo, lombroka motolo mosto frigo frishi. Lombroka motolo mosto frigo frigo frishi. Zefri, lombroka tolo motolo mokro, tolo motolo ke, tolo motolo mosto frines, no frines, zofrinias, tolo mangaras, tu frines, mangeras, tu frines, mangar tusko, zefridis, ne tusko frine, lombrodeles, zefredolos, mangar tusk. In Jesus' name, join us with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lifts up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. Yes, you will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. long life, God satisfy you and show his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to the neighbor and say, you are becoming a virtuous Christian. God bless you. Have a great week.